You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up on the SBS On The Money podcast, we speak with AMP CEO Alexis George. Will the ASX get a stronger market competitor, and how investors continue to treat Donald Trump's tariffs? All of that and more next. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Thursday, the 7th of August, 2025. It's a day where the Australian share market fell from its record high yesterday. The S&P ASX 200 down 0.14%. We'll have the details with Scott Phillips from The Motley Fool in a few moments. But first, shares in AMP rose 4.8% today. That's as it posted a half-year underlying profit of $131 million. That's up 9.2%. On revenues of $632 million, up 1.8%. The financial services company is focusing on its retirement arm, but is also turning to AI. So to talk about all of that and more, I spoke with its CEO, Alexis George. Alexis, UBS's underlying profit missed consensus, but you've reaffirmed your FY25 revenue margin and overall cost guidance. Can you tell me more about the operating environment ahead and what it means for AMP?
Yeah, I think just before I do that, I think it's important to think about consensus, because if you look at the average of the analysts, yes, we missed it slightly, but it's really as a result of a couple of one-offs rather than the actual operating businesses themselves. And I think that's important to note. And when we started to talk through that, I think the analysts and the shareholders understood that. If you look at our operating units, and we have a bank, we have a wealth management company, which consists of both a platforms or advisor support business and a superannuation business, and we have New Zealand. Now, if I come to our Australian wealth businesses, they're all in good shape. You know, we spent a lot of years making sure that we dealt with the issues of the past, that we started to innovate, that we focused on the customer, and all of those businesses are starting to demonstrate growth, and we've addressed the things like service, et cetera, as well. So I expect that trajectory to continue for the second half. In our bank, we know it's a competitive environment in Australia, but we've just launched our new AMP Bank Go digital offering, and that's starting to get traction, and that really is going to diversify the customer base there. So I think it's in good shape in a competitive environment. And, of course, New Zealand, it's got a few economic issues at the moment, but our business there is strong and continues to grow. So I don't see much difference in that second half from where we've delivered in the first.
When I speak to analysts about reporting season, they particularly want to know two things from companies at the moment. So I want to ask you about those if I can. First of all, is that external environment, tariffs and how it's impacting Australia. How do you see it coming through, and what are the challenges going to be? Because we're likely to get an interest rate cut next week.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of questions there. Firstly, if we talk about the domestic environment, and we believe there'll be an interest rate cut next week, given where we sit from a banking perspective, that gives us some advantages. So I think that's already baked in, and we'll look forward to that going through to our customers. When we look about the global environment, yeah, there is a lot of uncertainty, and you kind of think every day, what will happen? I don't think we can control that. What we can control is how we react, what we do, how do we protect our customers as best we can. And so that's what I focus on, what we can control, and we just have to adjust to that global economic environment almost on a daily basis these days.
So speaking about what you can control, that leads to that second question, right? And that's on the future and the use of artificial intelligence, not just from the consumer experience, but on your back end. What can you tell me about how you're using it, the positives, and how will it flow through to your workforce?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's something I was talking to our people about today, actually. I mean, AI is changing our world. It's changing our personal world. It's changing our business world. And we're not going to stop that. So we need to embrace it. We need to make sure it does drive efficiencies. We need to make sure it does help serve customers better. You know, at AMP, we're definitely embracing it. We're already using it to help our advisors become more efficient. We're already using it to help our contact center consultants educate themselves better. I think as a CEO, we've got a responsibility to educate our staff make sure they know how they can use this to make their lives better. And that's certainly what we're doing, but it is going to change things and people need to learn to adjust and incorporate it into their day-to-day life. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. It's going to change the way we work, but it doesn't have to start to reduce staff numbers. I'd like to see us growing, and so therefore we can use the efficiencies we've given to grow our business.
Two final questions. I'd love to get your thoughts on the ASX. It's mixed up with TPG yesterday, had some real complications for that company. It's also being investigated by ASIC on separate governance issues. Now the corporate watchdog says it's in the final stages of considering an application for a rival operator to allow it to conduct share market listings, possibly boosting competition. So how confident are you in the market operator ASX at the moment?
Yeah, well, as a company has been through a few problems of its own in the past, I feel very nervous about commenting on other people. You know, I think there's a lot of good people there trying to work through the problems that they've got at the moment. Clearly, the issue yesterday through to today was very disappointing, and, you know, I can't imagine how that was for both them and the recipient of that problem. It must have been an awful couple of days, but I think there's good people there, and let's hope they can work through it, because we need confidence in our public markets. And we need confidence in the people that provide access to those public markets. So I really want them to be able to resolve those problems quickly.
Do you think, though, that confidence has been impacted?
Look, I think at this point there is generally a confidence in the ASX, but clearly they've got some work to do there.
And finally, superannuation. Obviously, it's a massive industry in Australia, trillions of dollars, and the Australian market is small. AMP is concentrating on the retirement side of the business. Where is AMP finding value and growth for investors in superannuation? And does that mean having to go more overseas to find those opportunities?
Yeah, I think like every super fund in Australia, we do invest quite a lot of our money offshore, and I don't see that changing. Like, we're going to have a system that's got about $4 trillion of assets very soon. So, you know, we know that the opportunities can't only exist in Australia. So I think that is part of it. We will always be looking at new asset classes to drive returns for our customers, whether that's private equity, whether it's in international assets or, you know, even in new technology. So we'll continue to do that. And I don't see that changing, quite honestly. You say we're focusing on retirement, and we absolutely are, and we want to innovate in providing solutions for people in that next phase of their life so they spend their money, because we know Australians aren't spending at the moment, and we'll do that, but that doesn't really change the investment philosophy, to be honest.
That's Alexis George there, the CEO of AMP. Quick check on the Australian share market now, which fell today. The S&P ASX 200 down 0.14% to 8,831. Remember, it did close at a record yesterday. Six of 11 sectors ended higher. The best performing consumer discretionary, followed by information technology. The worst performing sectors, healthcare and industrials. In terms of the top five stocks, let's look at a few of them. The worst performer was the ASX Limited, down by 8.6% today, followed by Clarity Pharmaceuticals, down by 6%, and News Corporation, 3.9% weaker. The best performers, Westgold Resources, up by 5%, followed by AMP, as we just mentioned, 4.8%, and Boss Energy, a 4.1% gain. For more on the day's market action, I spoke with Scott Phillips. He is the Chief Investment Officer at The Motley Fool. Scott, the ASX is down today. It follows a record high yesterday. Why and what's leading the declines?
Ricardo, g'day. Look, I mean, we're at a record high. Sometimes you go higher, sometimes you go lower. Sometimes it's just plain volatility. But you ask what's making it happen. If you look in the individual sectors, it seems very clearly it's about rates. We see utilities up, real estate up, consumer discretionary stocks in positive territory. On the flip side, banks are down. Generally speaking, that's what you'd expect if the market was forecasting lower interest rates, and that may be what we get in a week's time.
Can we talk about how you're feeling about the investment environment connected to the Trump tariffs, because they keep coming? We learned overnight 100% on semiconductors, a lifting to 50% for India. What are the implications for investors, especially when it comes to interest rates and the US economy? Because what's interesting is, of course, Donald Trump would argue he's bringing manufacturing back to the US. Apple's increasing its investment there by $100 billion US dollars more to $600 over the next 4 years now.
In the short to medium term, mate, it's all bad news. It is economic vandalism. Let's be very clear about it. And yes, that's putting my cards very clearly on the table. Why? Every single approach thus far is going to push up prices for American consumers and American businesses. That has to, by definition, erode US standards of living. It will almost certainly add to inflationary pressures, and in a worst-case scenario, may lead to a recession. Now, maybe none of those things happen, but if you're going to write a book on this, you're going to say, you know what, based on what we know, if you increase the costs of production, and in some cases, the final products, the final goods and services that are being purchased, you can't but push up inflation, can't but push up prices. By the way, the US economy, not many unemployed workers with the skills to do some of the work Donald Trump's hoping to build or bring home. So I'm not sure who he thinks is going to come and do that work. And in the meantime, it's going to be really, really bumpy. The US doesn't have the capacity for that sort of stuff. So what we're going to see is higher prices. What does that mean for Australia, for investors? Look, in the short term, a lot of Australian exports impacted by much. That's not the big one. The big one is twofold. China, if it continues to suffer from US higher US tariffs, who are our major trading partners? China, iron ore. That's a risk. The bigger medium-term risk across the world is the inflation and recession I just mentioned. If they happen in the US, hard to imagine we'll escape at least some of the fallout. We know we live in a globalized world. If the US does tank, if US prices do go up, we may have to brace for something similar or at least some sort of buffeting here at home.
Reporting season rolling on. It's not super busy just yet. Some numbers out. Any you're keeping an eye on?
The AMP data out today was really fascinating, actually. The shares did okay. They're up 50% year on year, but still down about 82% since 2001. So very much a story of depending when you bought the shares. Financial services are huge. In terms of keeping your eye on numbers, I'm going to be most fascinated by those that are kind of economically exposed, at least when it comes to the impact on the broader economy itself. We've seen some decent retail sales and household spending numbers out recently. Thinking about the impact on the banks, they're our largest sector. That's important. And then consumer stocks, discretionary and staples. How are they going to respond to the way consumers are spending? We know Endeavour's doing it tough, the drinks retailer. Whether that impacts or is seen to be impacted by the same impacts or same efforts that hurt some of our discretionary retailers elsewhere, that's what I'll be keeping an eye on.
I wouldn't mind spending a couple of moments talking about the issues happening at the ASX if we can. ASIC, the corporate regulator, overnight said that it's in the final stages of considering a listing market application from Cboe Australia. The Treasurer said at the Investor Roundtable yesterday that making markets more competitive will make our economy more prosperous and mean more investment in Australian businesses. Of course, it comes in light of some major issues at the market operator, the ASX, an ASIC investigation, yesterday's TPG cross-referencing mix-up, which we spoke about in detail on the podcast. What do you think about all of that?
So much there, Ricardo. I think in the first instance, competition is great as long as it doesn't lead to just plain old duplication. And so that's probably one of the key ones is what is Cboe going to list? What companies will move? Works perfectly fine in the US. You've got the NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange. There's no reason why we can't have multiple market operators as long as it doesn't add complexity rather than simplification for investors, for traders, for listed businesses. If it just makes things more complex, that's bad news. If it adds to competition without adding complexity, remember, ASX's net margins are something like 45%. They are eye-wateringly huge. They're software margins, right? Why? Because you're a monopoly provider and you can pretty much name your price. So in a perfect world, in theory, adding competition should bring down listing prices, exchange prices, data prices, hopefully. Whether it does and how that nets out, that still remains to be seen. So I'd be hopeful that it happens. Of course, the flip side is like the old days of Foxtel and Optus Vision laying duplicated cables right around the country. They can also be horribly, horribly expensive and inefficient. So depends how it happens, depends what happens. Very true. ASX has had a terrible run. They wasted money on their blockchain project. They've had outages. They've now made just some silly fat finger mistakes. None independently feel terrible to me, honestly, but add them all together. And it does feel like the ASX is a bit sleepy, a bit monopolistic, maybe resting on its laurels. Even the threat of competition should be enough to sharpen things up. Real competition, as long as it doesn't add that complexity I mentioned, is going to be good for all financial market participants.
Optus Vision, that's a name I haven't heard in a very, very, very long time. Finally, what are you telling your clients at the moment and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Oh, this sounds a bit hackneyed, a bit cliched, mate, but I think it's real right now. The market is near all-time highs, as you've already mentioned, so that's important to think about. It's always a stock picker's market. I hate the phrase, but right now, whenever the market's at highs, choose carefully. The best thing we've got right now, though, is earnings season. And I'm not really a contrarian necessarily, but I do like a bargain. If you see businesses that are, and we see some really sharp movements on earnings season, we've seen some 20, 30% movements, quite a few of them last time and the time before. If you see those big movements that are not justified by changing the long-term potential for a business, that's shopping time. Yes, you've got to have a bit of a cast iron stomach. If the market's going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, go and grab the baby. So there are going to be opportunities when the market freaks out, overdoes it, overreacts. That's really good opportunistic buying opportunities, particularly with markets at or near all-time highs.
Scott Phillips there from The Motley Fool. That wraps up the podcast for this Thursday. We've got more profit numbers coming out tomorrow, including that of Nick Scali. We'll have some details in tomorrow's podcast. In the meantime, if you enjoy it, remember to give it a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and to click subscribe. See you tomorrow.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision. This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.